Good afternoon and welcome back to America's Workforce, broadcast from Ohio for workers around the entire world and archived on awfradio.com. Let's go to line number one, being the first Friday of the new month. Dorsey Hager joining us from Columbus. Dorsey heads the Columbus Central Ohio Building and Construction Trades Council, columbusconstruction.org, one of the many proud sponsors of the show. Lots to talk about today. Let's get into the speakers race. Dorsey, welcome back to the show. Happy February to you.
Happy February to you. How's everything in Cleveland, Flash? Are you dodging snow cells and trying to stay out of the cold, or what's going on up there?
We're slowly getting out of the deep freeze. Boy, that was nasty stuff there. Oh my gosh! And it was such a big part of the Midwest too. Well, you had a lot of it down there too, didn't you?
Yeah, it's been pretty difficult. We had a lot of snow last weekend. We had a little bit here overnight. It's been very cold. I mean, one morning this week I woke up and it was -5. Another morning I woke up and it was -3. So that makes it difficult, you know?
And you know what? Hats off to the trades that are out there, the safety forces. I saw a clip yesterday on ABC News with the firefighters. Oh, my God. You see these house fires, tragic house fires, especially this time because everything is so dry. I mean, they had icicles from their eyebrows. And then the water main breaks. We got water main break after water main break here in northeastern Ohio. I'm sure you've got a couple down there. And then you got the service departments out there that are braving the cold temperatures. So my heart's out to them. Hang in there, guys. I'll tell you, this is a tough time of year for you. It really
makes it
is.
Very difficult. You're absolutely right. It makes it very difficult.
All right, let's kick off here with the speaker's race. You and I had conversation. I know you were behind Larry Householder. Now, does he have one or two members of his family that's involved in a union, that's a union member?
He actually has three. He has two sons. He has one is an IBEW member. The other one is an operating engineer. And then his wife is a teacher. So he has three union members. Unions mean a lot to him. The middle class, everything like that. He has a great story about his son who's the operating engineer. He tells a story about how his son was at OU because his wife, obviously being a school teacher, and Larry as well, valued education. So his son was at OU, and one weekend they were down there visiting for parents weekend, and the son was like, listen, he's like, I'm wasting a lot of my time and a lot of your guys' money. He goes, I just don't think this is for me. And Larry said, well, what do you, what's for you? What do you think? And he's like, well, I like messing around with the equipment on the farm. I like doing that stuff. So, you know, he went and applied to the operating engineers, and now he runs heavy equipment for them and makes a good income, makes a good living, and he loves it. So Larry's very passionate not only about unions and working people, but he's passionate about the trades. And there's a line I know we talk sports on your show and stuff, and there's an old baseball adage. It says past performance is a terrific predictor of future performance.
Uh-huh.
And when he was speaker from 2001 to 2006, anti-worker legislation never saw the light of day. There was nothing about right to work. There was no attacks on prevailing wage. There was no threats of abolishing project labor agreements on public sector or tax-financed work. Just wasn't there because he doesn't believe that. And that's why labor, you know, starting with the primaries last year and leading up into the general election, you know, we were all in to try to get him elected speaker because the speaker is a very powerful position in the state of Ohio in the legislature, controls a lot of the bills, a lot of the committees, where a lot of the bills go, and definitely has a say-so on from a leadership standpoint and with his leadership team on legislation that's going to impact the state for years to come. So the last thing we want to see is an abolishment of prevailing wage like what happened on the schools in 97 under Joanne Davidson. And with Larry, like I said, that never happened 2001, 2006. So we did everything we could and we went all in, tried to give our members a couple years here of labor peace. And I think we've done that. And he worked his butt off. He reached across the aisle. I think it was a perfect split. He had 26 Republicans, 26 Democrats. So he got the majority, which was 52 votes. And won the speaker's race 52-46, and just tremendous. So proud of all the work he did. There was a lot of people here in Central Ohio that I reached out to that I'm very proud of that stood up for the working people, not only of Columbus and Central Ohio, but for working people all over the state. Kristen Boggs, Adam Miller, Rich Brown, Erica Crowley, who's new to the State House. You know, she saw the importance of labor getting behind Larry Householder, and also David Leland. You know, those were five Central Ohio elected officials that were all in with Larry Householder, voted for Larry, showed their support, and just a heck of a day, heck of a day.
And we would not have those assurances with the guy that was running against him, Ryan Smith, and he was the speaker in the last session, right?
Yeah, and Ryan never came out and said right to work was going to be on his agenda or doing away with prevailing wage, but he never came out and said that he was against any of those issues either.
Right.
And he was out recruiting, you know, some of the greatest, you know, hit makers down at the State House that we talk about on your show all the time, the Bill Deans, the Ron Hoods, the Tom Brinkmans. He was recruiting those people on his team, you know, and those are people who just love to go in and introduce legislation to, you know, for right to work and all those things. So, you know, it was a very easy call for labor, and I think it was an easy call for a lot of Democrats in Central Ohio and around Ohio who supported Larry, and not only for some of the labor reasons, but for other reasons that they talked about as well. Larry's talked about inclusiveness. He's talked about bipartisanship. He's talked about reaching out to Democrats. I know there's a lot of Democrats that are in the State House that have said that, you know, definitely under Ryan Smith and absolutely under Cliff Rosenberger, that they had bills that never saw the light of day just because they were introduced by them who were Democrats. You know, Larry's told them that that's going to change and it's going to be different, and their voice is going to be heard, and they're going to work in a bipartisan way. You know, I was talking to Rich Brown the other night, and he was down at the State House, and Larry shot him a text and says, "Hey, are you at the State House?" He says, "Yeah." He says, "Well, come on over to my office. Let's talk for a little bit about some things." And Rich said he walked over to the speaker's office, sat there for 2 hours, and talked with the new speaker. And, you know, Rich has been there a little while. He said it's the first time he'd ever seen the speaker's office. He didn't even know where it was. So that was obviously an eye-opener and a change in leadership. And I think a lot of the Democrats are going to be very happy. And I think a lot of our members are going to be very happy to see the positive changes that are going to go on down at the State House.
That being said, what's on the agenda here? What are you seeing here in the House? But I mean, a lot of bills start in the House and then they go over to the Senate. So what's the game plan?
You know, as it comes to labor legislation,
yeah,
I'm not really sure yet. I don't see anything that's anti-labor that's coming out, like I said, which is good.
Yep.
Anything that's pro-labor, I haven't heard of anything yet. I know the Republicans and the Democrats have kind of taken a breath and they're doing kind of a reset. You know, Fred Strayhorn was all in on Ryan Smith, as was Bridget Kelly. That's part of the leadership team. They were all in with Ryan Smith. Obviously, that didn't happen, so they've resigned from leadership. We have new leadership in the minority now. You know, we mentioned Kristen Boggs. She's in leadership. Amelia Sykes is in leadership, as is Paula Hicks from Toledo, the former mayor. She's in leadership as well. So some of that's changed. I know that Larry hasn't put his leadership team together yet, so he's working on it. But just in conversations with him over the last couple of years, as I've got to know him, I know that school financing is near and dear to his heart. He wants to see if they can do something about that. You know, we talked about taking prevailing wage out of the schools in 97. You know, that was the DeRolf decision that went all the way to the Supreme Court that said that the way that we fund public education here in Ohio is unconstitutional. And it's been, what now, 22 years, and no one's even tried to address that situation.
That's amazing to me.
About the inequality.
I'm still speechless on that. Something's ruled unconstitutional, and two decades go by, and nobody does anything about it.
As am I. And, you know, the student who brought that up, DeRolf, I forget his first name, but, you know, think about that. He brought that up when he was a senior in high school because he saw the income inequality and how it affected students in poor and sometimes rural districts here in the state of Ohio. So he decided to bring that case up, and, you know, that kid's 40 years old now.
Nothing has been done
about it. So, you know, I think infrastructure is important to Larry. I think he wants the, you know, the roads and bridges and stuff like that. So, you know, we'll see what his leadership team and what under his leadership they come up with, but it's going to be interesting, but I'm excited about it. It's exciting times. And, you know, I was at, Ohio State the other night. I got the opportunity to speak to the young Dems. They had me come in once or twice a year and just talk to them about labor and unions and stuff like that. And I had this whole thing all laid out that I was going to talk to them about. And one of the young people in the crowd raised their hand and asked a question. They said, "Can you talk to us about the speaker's vote and explain like why you were lobbying Democrats to vote for a Republican and how that went down?" So I basically went through everything. I went down with them, but I even took it a step farther. And I said, you know, some of you were here 2 years ago when I came in, and I know we talked about this on your show. And I said, and we spoke about Hillary and losing the 2016 election. you know, where she lost the state of Michigan by a little over 10,000 votes. She lost the state of Wisconsin by a little over 22,000 votes. And those were 26 electoral votes that were very important. And, you know, there was an article that was in the New York Times, and I think I'd sent it to you before, and we discussed it in the past, and I discussed it the other night, you know, how right to work is not only killing unions, but it's killing the Democratic Party here in the United States. You know, in states that are right to work states, the Republicans get an automatic 3.5-point advantage to start right out of the gate because unions are weakened. It's tough for them to go out and support pro-labor Democrats when they're weakened financially, or pro-labor, not just pro-labor Democrats, but pro-labor people in general, you know, when they're weakened like that. And Michigan and Wisconsin are two great examples. They recently went right to work, razor-thin margins. Hillary lost those two states, lost the electoral votes. Look at Florida. Florida was the first state to go right to work in 1943. Hillary lost Florida by 112,000 votes. 112,000 votes, and that's 29 electoral votes that cost her. So how different would that election be, or how different would those three states be if those states weren't right to work and if they were union-friendly and pro-union state? Look at 2000 with Gore and Bush, how close that was, and mm-hmm. that tipped the whole election. So, you know, we know how important Florida is, you know, and we saw what happened last year with the governor and the Senate race, how close those were. You know, I think that there's a lot of Democrats out there, and I've given this article, I've sent this article out to them, I've met with a lot of them, I'm going to meet with one today, you know, who was not with us on the householder thing. And that's one of the things I'm going to share to them. You know, right to work is not only important to the working class and unions, but it's important to the Democratic Party as well.
Absolutely. You want to read a good posting, you know, Leo Girard, who heads the steelworkers. If you go to the USW website, there's a great blog on there. You hear all about these right to workers. Oh, you got to have right to work. Where were they during the government shutdown, he asks. He says that, where was the National Right to Work Foundation when hundreds of thousands of federal workers were locked out of their jobs and really wanted the right to work with pay?
Yeah.
Think about that. They were strangely silent. These were people that wanted to work. Some of them were, they had to work because they were deemed essential workers, but they weren't getting pay. But all the right to workers, I mean, they wanted the right to work. That's a really good point. I'll leave it to Leo to come up with that angle. That was good stuff.
Yeah, it's a good take on a bad situation.
Exactly. Hopefully we won't repeat that in a couple of weeks. All right, I have to take a quick break. Dorsey Hager joining us on our live line with the Columbus Central Ohio Building and Construction Trades Council. We'll get into the building that's going on. Also, there was a construction trades fair in the Columbus area. Later in the broadcast, Kara Voigt will be joining us, and she is one of the writers with Mother Jones. She did a really good piece on Senator Sherrod Brown's aspects for the White House. It's all part of America's Workforce. Back in a few. Don't go away. Good afternoon, and welcome back to America's Workforce, broadcast from Ohio for workers around the entire world and archive on awfradio.com. Let's go back to our live line, rejoin Dorsey Hager, the Columbus Central Ohio Building Trades. All right, tell me about this construction trades fair. I know we're going to do another one here in Northeast Ohio in about a month or so. I'll get the details on that shortly. But right now, tell me what's going on down there. There's, I guess you had one, and you got some results on what came out of that?
Yeah, so Mayor Andrew Ginther, I attended the State of the City last night, and he's talked about the themes that have been prevalent in his 4 years in office. You know, the importance of the neighborhoods, the importance of the city, the income equality, how we cure that is by working with unions to raise people up. You know, job training, the building trades apprenticeship programs, pre-apprenticeship. You know, he hit on all the fundamentals last night, and one of the things that we've been working on in conjunction with the mayor, a lot of his staff, and also the Workforce Development Committee that he put together, is we've been having, in areas of the city and the county, we've been having career fairs to kind of expose young people, but also adults who are maybe looking for a better income or a better career, to expose them to careers in the building trade. So we had a career fair a couple of weeks ago at St. Stephen's Community House. It's in the Linden area of Columbus. It's just one of the poorer neighborhoods in one of our Celebrate One neighborhoods. We have eight of them in Columbus. And incredible turnout on a very cold and snowy day. But we had a lot of people there. A lot of people were interested to hear about the trades. You know, we talked about the college credits that you earn. We talked about tuition free, talked about the job training, talked about a lot of the wages and the benefits, but also the opportunity that's there right now with all the work that's going on in Columbus and Central Ohio and really all across the state. There's a huge, tremendous opportunity for young people to get in the trades. So we hit on that. It was a great career fair. And then our second one that we did, which was in conjunction with the mayor's office, which is great for him to do, is, you know, there's pre-qualification and pre-registration that goes on here in the city of Columbus because you have to be, you know, a qualified contractor. And we were able to set up an outreach event with them where we could have our contractors come in that weren't pre-registered or pre-qualified. They would sit down with somebody from the city, basically go over on the computer how to get your pre-qualification, pre-registration status to help them be ready to work on some of these projects that the city is getting ready to build and some of these projects that are covered under a community benefit agreement under the mayor. You know, Fire Station 35 is going on right now. We've got the Moffray Stadium renovations going on. We talked about on your show last time. And we've also got the Linden Rec and Community Center that's going to be breaking ground later this spring. So all those are going to be under a community benefit agreement, which is great. And it's going to just help draw more and more people to the trades, more and more outreach, emphasis on continued diversification of our building trades programs, you know, people of color, female, but also local people, you know, who are going to live here, work here, earn wages here, and spend their money here, which is great for the community. And I think the mayor has seen that for a long time. He's believed in that, and he's definitely speaking that, like I said, as he did last night in his state of the city, and his actions are speaking that as well with a lot of these community benefit agreements that he's doing on a lot of these projects.
So the question is that resonating? Is it, or at least starting to resonate with young people that are in, say, high school and thinking about a career in the building trades?
Yeah, I think it really is. And the thing that we have now is when myself or some of our training directors go to middle schools or high schools and we talk to some of these people, some of these young people and some of these students in Columbus City Schools and some of the schools here in Franklin County, and I basically lay it out and I try to keep it simple. You know, if you show up every day, if you work hard, if you're able to take direction, you know, and you can pass a drug test, you're going to have the opportunity to earn $50,000 to $125,000 a year. Now, a lot of these young people look at you and they don't believe it.
Right.
So we've had some graduates of our Building Futures program. We've had other apprentices, go out and speak to them on their behalf, explain to them what the life looks like, day in the life of an apprentice. You know, how you get up, you go to work, you have a class a couple evenings a week, you know, the time you spend with your family, how you progress, you know, your raises, your benefits and all that. And I think it's really starting to resonate. And I think young people are starting to see the opportunity that exists with apprenticeships and in the trades, that the biggest thing that you have to invest is just your time, you know, because like we said, it's all tuition free.
Mm-hmm. The projects down in Central Ohio, and there's many, as you pointed out, is there one that's taking priority right now? And is the work starting to get underway? I know it's tough here in the winter months, but what's the status right now?
Boy, priority. Huh. I mean, there's so much work going on that it's tough to prioritize. I know that Ohio State, obviously, they're always doing things. I met with Jay Casey from Ohio State a couple weeks ago to talk about the upcoming, you know, work schedule, not only this year, but here in the future. And, you know, obviously the big one here is the OSU Medical Center. And I think that budget-wise, they're looking at that topping out at about $1.8 billion now, which is a tremendous job. That's a huge project. But they're also going to have, as Jay said, some several other smaller jobs, which, you know, were right around $200 million each, which I don't obviously consider small. I guess small in comparison to a $1.8 billion job.
Sure.
But they're going to do a new lab that's about $200 million. So, you know, we talked about the Moffray Stadium renovation. We talked about the new Crew Stadium on your show last month. We've talked about all the work that's going on at Facebook, all the work that's going on out at Google. So there's lots of opportunities. There's lots of cranes. There's lots of holes in the ground. You know, we're in the middle of an MOU, which is a form of a project labor agreement at the Franklin County Jail. Phase one will be wrapping up at the jail at the end of this summer. And then phase two will get started in the fall. So you're looking at about $350 to $375 million construction dollars out there. So huge emphasis coming up on the jail. Obviously, it's going to be electricians and bricklayers. There's a lot of block, a lot of brick on that job. So when we go into Building Futures and we talk to these young people, again, about opportunities, you know, there's tons of opportunities with the electricians, tons of opportunities with the bricklayers, the roofers, the cement masons. Everybody really, but those are the ones that are really looking to find people right now that have a lot of work out there that are kind of, you know, addressing those manpower needs.
Refresh me a little bit here on Facebook and Google. Are they building like another headquarters down there? What's this?
So Facebook is Facebook bought a large plot of land in New Albany, which is a suburb of Columbus. It's northeast of Columbus. They're doing data centers. They're doing office buildings, all kinds of stuff. It looks like when that project's complete in about 6 years, construction dollars spent is going to be about $2 to $2.5 billion. Google is looking at starting off with a data center at first, about $600 million, and then office buildings to follow. And we're looking right now that there's probably going to be about 10 office buildings to buildings to follow. So we're looking at total construction dollars there, probably about $1.6, maybe $1.8 billion.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so a lot of work, a lot of opportunities here, which is really, really good.
When you talk about data centers, what comes to mind right away, jobs for IBEW members. Think about the wiring, the electronic knowledge that goes into the construction of those buildings. That's huge, and you need somebody that's totally qualified to handle something like that. In a scope of things, you know, we're talking about, I know all the trades are in demand right now, but you think about that, you think about the future. I mean, because we're a high-tech world today, let's face it. I mean, and you think about, how do you maintain, how do you grow a high-tech? Well, you need electricians. You need very, very qualified IBEW members to handle something like that. So, I mean, this has got to be huge down there, Dorsey.
It is, and you're right. On these data centers, like the one they're getting ready to build at Google, and they're getting ready to add data centers as well at the Amazon sites that are down here in Columbus, you know, they are heavy, heavy, heavy mechanical and electrical. So you're going to have a lot of electricians, you're going to have a lot of plumbers, you're going to have a lot of pipe fitters, a lot of sheet metal workers, and a lot of insulators. So, and it's tremendous work. I've had the opportunity to work on data centers when I worked in the field in the past in my career, and it's a great opportunity to work on those mechanical systems and very labor intensive, but they're good projects and they're great. So we're definitely, you know, doing a lot of outreach to try to get people into the trades, try to get people in.
So important. So important. All right, buddy, I'm going to let you go. Dorsey Hager, Executive Secretary of the Columbus Central Ohio Building and Construction Trades Council, columbusconstruction.org. Twitter handle is BuildCentralOH. Real simple there. Okay, my friend, you take care. Any picks here in the Super Bowl coming up? What's your thoughts?
You know what? They say you bet with your head and root with your heart.
Uh-huh.
I don't know why. I just have a weird feeling. I think the Rams pull this out.
You think so?
I think they were given a pass 2 weeks ago. I think their defense steps up. I think Gurley's healthy. I think they run the ball. I think the Patriots have a problem stopping the run. And I think the Rams do it. I think they pull it out, like 26-20.
Okay, we'll see. I'm hoping it goes into overtime. And you know why? Because you get free wings from BW3.
free football and free wings.
There you go. They picked a date. I saw it on one of the websites yesterday. Apparently, if the game goes and the last two playoff games went in overtime. So if it goes in overtime, I think they picked February 18th. Anybody could go into a Buffalo Wild Wings and get a free sample of wings.
There you go. Nothing wrong with that. Free
nice
wings,
nice so. Promotion there. Really nice promotion. Yeah. All right. You keep up the fight, my brother. We'll talk to you in a month, all right?
All right. Talk to you soon. Thanks so much, Flash.
All right.
Stay warm up there and have a good weekend.
We're trying, buddy. All right. Quick break here. When we come back, Kara Voigt will be joining us talking about Senator Sherrod Brown. Could he be taking on Bernie Sanders? That's next on America's Workforce.